I'd like to call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting. If everybody please rise to the flag salute and remain standing for a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll remain standing for a moment of silence for Councilman Rob Phipps, who passed away this past weekend. Thank you. We're going to start this morning with a couple of presentations. The first is Red Ribbon Week Best Decorated School Contest.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien and Board of Supervisors. My name is Jenny Bates, and I'm with the Santos County Citizens Against Substance Abuse. That's a tough one to say early in the morning. And we are here to celebrate Red Ribbon Week today. Although that was in October, Santos County Citizens Against Substance Abuse is a committee of folks in the community who put their time forward to fight substance abuse. We're here to provide prevention in substance abuse and provide education and support drug-free activities throughout the year. At this moment, I'd just like the people involved in Santos County Citizens Against Substance Abuse on our board just to please stand or just recognize you guys for a second as well. These are part of our committee members. This is just a portion of our committee that is involved every year, works very hard with the schools to provide Red Ribbon Week. Every year we do a awards contest for schools in Stanislaus County. We do it for high schools, junior high, elementary schools, in support of Red Ribbon Week in hopes that people will recognize the dangers of substance abuse and prevent substance abuse in our community. So today we're recognizing the schools, and so at this point I'd like to turn it over to Janet Pollard to start the awards process. And again, thank you for your time today. This was very important to our community. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien and Board of Supervisors. Thank you again for allowing us to take this time to recognize these schools who worked so hard this year. We had 23 schools that participated in our Best Decorated School competition from high school all the way down to elementary school. And I want to tell you, the competition was very, very stiff this year. The judges had a very hard time determining who would be first, second, and third place winners. So, at this time, I would like to recognize the first place winners as Waterford High School. If we can have a representative from Waterford High School come up and accept their award. We have a plaque for you. Thank you very much for all that you did. They worked so hard. They actually designed a DVD. They took their hard time, the students got together, and they designed a DVD on their own time in front of Taco Bell of a drunk driving incident. And they actually stopped it so that the students can pick it up next year and finish off that DVD. So we're very, very pleased with the work that they put together. Did they get the perpetual? Okay. First place for middle school is Florida Middle School. Can we have a representative from Florida Middle School come up? Congratulations. We have certificates for you. And also we have checks, and as I say, those are in the mail. So those will be mailed out to your schools. You got it? Okay. And then we had a tie for elementary school for first place. This is how stiff the competition was. For first place elementary school, can we have a representative from Campus Stronger Elementary School come up, please? just want to say something about Capistrano Elementary School. This is the first year they've ever been able to participate. They were a year-round school. So this is the first time they were able to participate, and I was blown away, as well were the judges, of the participation that they had at the school for the Best Decorated School Competition for Red Ribbon Week. It was just amazing. Okay, the next first place elementary school was Fox Road Elementary School. Can we have a representative come up from Fox Road Elementary, please? Oh! And they have a perpetual. Oh, we just got it. Okay. We should all be very, very proud of the work these students put together. This is an effort that is not driven by teachers or staff. This is a student-driven effort. So the students actually get together and decide the activities that want to take place with teacher support. But this is really a student-driven activity that takes place at the school. So we should all be very proud of them. Okay, our second place winners for high school is Oakdale High School. Can we have Oakdale High School come up, please? Thank you very much. Congratulations, you guys. You guys do an outstanding job every year. Okay. Second place for middle school. Can we have a representative come up from Waterford Middle School, please? Yes, we are definitely representing. Congratulations. And then second place for elementary, can we have a representative from University Charter School come up, please? Congratulations, you guys. You guys did an outstanding job, an outstanding job. I'm telling you, this was a really, really hard decision this year. Okay, now we're going to move on to the third place winners. Third place, can we have a representative from Thomas Downey High School come up, please? Downey High gets started very, very early in the year with their Red Ribbon competition, so it was a very, very hard decision in regards to high schools and middle schools and elementary schools. You guys did an outstanding job. You guys do an outstanding job every year. Okay, middle school, can we have a representative commit from TM Middle School, please? Congratulations, you guys. You guys did a great job. And third place for elementary school, can we have a representative from Walter Brown Elementary School come up, please?
Fabulous.
That's it. Thank you to all of the schools that are here today that are winners, and thank you to all the schools that participated. You're all winners for participating in this wonderful, wonderful competition. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication on the parts of the students, so you all should be applauded for everything that you guys did. So, congratulations. At this time, I'd like to turn the mic over to Jeff McCardio. He's with the ABSAP board. We partnered with ABSAP this year because we believe it's not only important that we have Red Ribbon in the schools, but we also start to extend that opportunity into the community. We want businesses to get involved and show their support for Red Ribbon Week. So we're going to have Jeff McCartia talk about ABSAP and his awards.
Thank you, Janet. The Advisory Board on Substance Abuse Programs, what we do is we oversee drug and alcohol treatment programs in Stanislaus County. And we were allowed to take part in this Red Ribbon Week this year, and we were very excited about that. And what we did is we extended this to 6 members out of the community, 2 businesses, 2 groups, and 2 individuals who have shown exemplary support in our community. So, first, is Steve Pichette here? Steve, come on up. Steve is from PACE, and he spends an awful lot of time working with kids that a lot of other people have given up on.
Congratulations.
Next, how about the Alumni Association of Stanislaus County? They're one of the groups that we pick. And these people volunteer their time and put on clean and sober events for people that are in recovery. Congratulations. What's that say? Oh, let's do them. Stanislaus County Citizens Against Substance Abuse. And this is kind of awkward and different. You want to open that? But these people do Red Ribbon for our community every single year, and nobody ever recognizes them. So we thought they deserved a Red Ribbon Award this year. Thank you. Michael Moses. This individual works at Stanislaus Recovery Center and works with people every single day. He's a personal friend of mine, and he's an outstanding member of our community. And how about Dave King? This is Dave King, Dave King's Roofing. He is also an outstanding member of our community, helps people in the recovering community, not only in their personal life, but with employment as well. He teaches people how to get back into the workforce. Thank you. And lastly, the Alano Club of Modesto. And once again, this whole place is run by volunteers who take time out of their daily lives to have a clean and sober place where the community can come and eat and play pool and have dances and stuff like that. Congratulations. And this will be fired up on December 6th, Thursday, with a dinner at 6 p.m. at the Martin Peer Conference Room. And we would like to invite Jim usually comes. Everyone is welcome, but especially Jim. Thank you guys for coming.
Well, that really does conclude our presentation for today. One thing that I did want to bring up is there is an event, and we have flyers back by where the agendas are, right, Christine? Okay. It's called Inside the Dark Side. It is behind tobacco, the science behind tobacco, the truth behind the lies. This is a gentleman who is with the tobacco industry, who is coming out, who is talking about all the dangers of tobacco. This gentleman is going to be here in Stanislaus County. Where's Charmaine? in Pancras County. What's the date, Charlene? So we just wanted to share that information. Again, the flyers, so please take them on your way out. We hope to see you all there. And again, thank you very much for allowing us to take your time this morning and present these schools that have worked so hard and these community members who have worked so hard for Red Ribbon in our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next presentation this morning is State of Our Schools from Stanislaus County Superintendent of Schools, Tom Shanyong.
Oh, the portable? Oh, okay.
And Tom, if you'll hold on just a minute or two while our students leave.
But wait!
Okay. Morning, Tom. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairman O'Brien, Board of Supervisors. It's an honor for me to be here today. I'm not going to take a great deal of your time, but I want to give you a snapshot of where we are in the education arena in Stanislaus County compared to what the state is doing. And I want to let you know that this is something that I'm very passionate about, and I'm going to do this in approximately 10 minutes. And if you have questions or comments, then we could talk afterwards, or you can email me with your questions. So I'll go through this rather quickly. But I would also like to congratulate and commend all the students and staff that were just recognized for their work with Red Ribbon Week, because to maintain a community that is drug-free is certainly something, a goal that we all strive to have, because it just makes for a more productive community. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the state of education in California and in our particular county. And maybe you can watch some of these slides, and for the audience, these numbers are all generated from the California Department of Education, and they are figures that were just released this past year, so they are current figures. And you have to understand that the landscape of education has changed dramatically from 1972 to 2005. We're educating over 2 million additional students in the state of California. This is a little cartoon in here, and it says, as you can read, it says bundle of a birthmark. And sadly, many of our students are identified and labeled that go through the system. They're either labeled because they're an English learner, they're in special ed, or they're in different programs, and they're shuffled around. And instead of trying to do our best with all students and not labeling, unfortunately, we have labeled some of these students, so we have to work on getting away from that. Look at the students and how different they are. The population of the Latino learners are up 187%. And then to the bottom, the white students are down 17%. So there's been a tremendous change in the demographics of our student body that we're educating. And you look at the different colors and the languages, you see that in 2005 there were over 1,500,000 English learners, 382% increase in 25 years. So education, the way it used to be in a single-room schoolhouse, has changed dramatically, and we have to adjust to meet those situations. This is another situation that says beware of Doug, not dog. And sadly, a lot of our students are feeling harassed and intimidated in their schools, and it's because of this bullying that goes on in our schools. So that's another issue that our prevention department at the County Office of Education is dealing with so that students feel safe in the school environment. And this tells you something about special students with special needs. And once again, we look at the figure at the bottom, 89% increase in students that are identified with special needs. That means they have an individual education plan for their particular needs. And that is 11%. So if you go into a school campus, you pretty much can figure that 11% of that student body, those students have special needs. And they're either taught by specialists or they go for other places for this special training. This is something that we've done in education in the past 25 years. You see the picture there, and the two chief ones think, it seems like we're going in circles. Well, it's pretty obvious why. And sometimes in education, the pendulum goes where we go in a complete circle, and we tend not to drift to the middle as often as we should, and yet we go in circles and create more work. We're talking about overpaid and underwork. You hear a lot of that with the teaching staffs and just the people that work in the field of education. You look at in California, we have 68 staff members for every 1,000 students, and 90 is the national average. So we rank dead last, 50 out of 50 in staff-to-student ratios. And you tell me how we're supposed to build relationships with young people when we're last in the nation in staff-to-student ratios. It's very difficult. The closer you look, then the worse it gets. Look at this, 30% more teachers in California, and the one at the very bottom is the one that concerns me the most, because to me, counselors are the ones that can reach out and connect with especially high school students. And we lose so many high school students in this county and in the state of California because they don't have any kind of a connection to their school. And counselors are a real key that can do that, and yet the average of typical American school has 92% more counselors than the state of California. That's a sad, sad statement right there. The commitment to school declines in terms of spending. And you know, we're in a difficult fiscal time right now. We know that the next 18 months to 2 years, we're all going to have to pull our butts in. But you look at where we were in 1972, we were 19th in the nation in spending per student, and we have declined to 34th now in 2005. So that's $25,000 per classroom less. I asked my wife, who's a seventh grade teacher, middle school teacher, I said, what could you do with $25,000 more in your classroom? And it's pretty staggering, the creativity and things that people could get involved with. So that's part of the issue that we're dealing with. And then you look at what we're spending as a state per personal income. And in you would all have to admit, we're all making more money than we were in 1972, what we're making now, and yet you look at this percentage and what we're doing, spending on personal income towards education is less. And it's about priorities, it's about what's important. And the thing that caught my eye the other day after one of the presidential debates, and one of the candidates in an interview afterwards said, you know, we're all debating and we're all engaged in all of these issues about immigration, about energy, about health care. He said, we should only be debating about one thing, and that one thing is how to build a more educated society. And I really appreciate that, because if you have an educated society, then you can deal with the problems of immigration, of healthcare, and energy, and environment. So it's about commitment, once again. This one, you know, you see the joke of the primitive spelling bees, and oftentimes this happens to our students. They don't want to get involved because they're put on the spot too often. So we have to work with students so that they're not feeling that they're being put on the spot. But I want to show you the good news of what we're doing statewide and locally as far as test scores. In spite of the slides that I just have shown you, I want to show you the one on the left in 1999. The fifth, we're ranked, schools are all ranked in the state of California on a 10-scope decile. And in 1999, the score of 611 was in the fifth, was right in the middle range. And so if an elementary, middle, or high school scored 611, they were right in the middle. Now, keep in mind that the state of California and the state superintendent, Jack O'Connell, wants every school in the state to reach 800. That's the magic number. If you can get to 800, then most of your students are proficient, if not advanced, in the standards. Now, in the 2006, the very lowest decile of any school of elementary in California is 631. So we've made tremendous growth and improvement in the years that we have monitored and tracked the state testing. So you can see that we're doing great things in spite of those previous slides where I've shown how the demographics have changed dramatically. We're still making tremendous growth. And once again, we talk about pressure and having students perform. And, you know, sometimes we put people in situations where we don't expect them to succeed, but rather we expect them to fail. And we need to turn that around. Here's some reading scores in the last 5 years. Now, notice the chart on the left is the state, and the chart on the right is reflecting Stanislaus County. And I'm showing you these because I want you to see that we are holding our own with statewide averages in terms of student growth. This is reading scores in the last 5 years. And you look at there where the state shows their gains and Stanislaus County, we're right there with the state. So we're doing great things as far as that you don't see any negative numbers there. So in spite of the concern, we're still showing improvement with all of our scores. These are math scores within the last 5 years, and once again, there's no red numbers, there's no negative lines associated with what we're doing in terms of all students, Latino, English learners, etc. So we're showing gains in that particular area. We're still working. We need to pour more money into our GATE programs for our gifted students, and this is what's happening with science in the last 5 years. And once again, we're very pleased to show the public that we are making advances in algebra, geometry, and the sciences as well. And so the point, what are we talking about? And we're saying that students who are taking college-bound courses are growing, and the numbers of students that are taking these classes increase dramatically. And we're very excited and pleased about that. And it just shows, for example, in biology, you look at that percentage, well, prior to the effort being made to put students on college prep classes and get them on timelines, students were taking those classes. But we have raised the awareness level to the point now where they are taking those. That's why that percent is up so high. And this is the Latino kids. That's one of our subgroups that we're really trying to close that achievement gap with. And you look at the gain in reading and what we're doing, and we feel very positive about that. We compare favorably in every grade level across the state with what we're doing in Stanislaus County. Here's the Latino students in the last 5 years with algebra, and you can see once again that we're making growth even in Stanislaus County with the percent of growth there. English learners, and you saw that earlier slide that we now have over 1,500,000 English learners in this state of California, and we're making growth with that as well. High school students that, you know, now they have to pass the exit exam, and we're seeing an improvement that those that are taking it as 10th graders, the majority of students are now passing that test. They're prepared, and they're passing that test in the 10th grade, and once again, our county is doing very well. Remember I mentioned earlier about 800 is the magic number that the state is looking for elementaries to reach. And in 2005, we had 16 elementary schools, and in 2 years, we've almost doubled that. So we're doing tremendous work out there. The staff and the leaders of these schools and the students are really performing well, and we're going to continue to work on that. Here's a middle school, and you see that's plateaued, and you say, wow, we've only got 2 middle schools in this county that have reached that number, and that's a sad statement, but that's the accurate figure right now. We have several, it wouldn't help me to tell you, that are at 780 and above, but 800 is what the cut number that we're looking for. Okay, I just briefly want to let you know the 10 challenges that we're dealing with, not just within this county, but statewide and nationally, and these are things that are affecting all of us in education. No child left behind, everybody knows about that, but the confusion is between API and AYP, and just to let you know, One is, if you were a track star and you were doing a long jump, if you did a long jump and your first jump was 10 feet and your next jump was 11 feet, then good for you, you show growth and you improved. And we recognize that. That's the California growth model that we use. That's API. The federal government, however, uses another model. It's called AYP. And that's a snapshot of a week of testing. And theirs is like if you were that same track star and you were a high jumper. And the first time you did the high jump, you jumped 5 feet. Well, that's great. They set the bar at 6 feet. So the next jump, you go 5'6". Well, you improved, but you knocked the bar off. And according to the federal government, then that puts you in an underperforming status because you didn't meet the bar, you didn't meet their standard. And so we have had schools in this county that are raising a flag at their elementary school or a special assembly saying that they are a distinguished school, and at the same time they're sending letters home to parents saying that they're program improvement according to the federal government, and the parents have the right to send their children to another school within their district. Now, the message to the public is very confusing, and we need to get that straightened out immediately. No Child Left Behind is high-stake testing. We mentioned that the pressure that we're putting on students, and not everyone is an avid test taker and looks forward to taking those tests. I put Christmas cards here because last year at this time, my wife was an educator of 34 years. We received a number of Christmas cards from our friends who are in education. A lot of them are reaching age where they're retiring, thinking about it. And some of them would handwrite on these Christmas cards saying, well, we're really thinking about retirement, looking forward to it, and the state of education right now, this is a good time to get out. Now think about individuals that have given 30 plus years of their life dedicated to making a difference with young people, and they can't wait to get out because of the state of education. We should be celebrating and using these veteran teachers to the best of our abilities, and they can't wait to get out. So we need to change what their frustrations are so that they can continue to carry the torch for all of us. The flee rate, I have you know that in parts of the country, I mention this because teachers that stay longer than 3 years, that are beginning teachers in some parts of the country, is fewer than 25%. We are just turning over new teachers after new teachers because they're leaving the industry. They're saying, you know what, this isn't for me. I have two children of our own that went to school. We talked to them all through high school about going into teacher programs, and when they got into college, they looked at us and said, well, why would we do that? And knowing what we saw you and mom do growing up, all you're doing is talking to parents every night on the phone and collecting papers for $30,000 a year. What fun is that? And so it's difficult to attract young people into the field of education right now. High school dropouts is another issue, 31%. It's unacceptable. If you don't get a high school diploma or some kind of technical training in today's society, you will not make it. And these young people aren't aware of that. They're not aware of it because no one has connected with them through their school years. They're not just dropping out in high school, they're dropping out in middle school. And we need to connect with these young people so that they see meaning and relevance and develop a relationship so that they know the importance of school. High school, we need to address those three R's, relationships, rigor, and relevance. It's really important. Special ed, funding, staffing, and parent advocates. And we talked about special ed, but the number of small, we have 7 direct service schools in this county, and a number of those small school districts are in dire straits budget-wise because of the encroachment on their special ed students, where some of them could be facing bankruptcy. And that's sad for school boards and communities to realize that their school can't make payroll because of some special ed issues. I just wanted to, the mixed messages, you know, we're all trying to get everybody going to college, but you know, college isn't for everyone, and we need to prepare our young people for the future. I also wanted to let you know the global impact. The United States, we're in for a huge challenge. This book I try to give to high school students all the time. It's called A Whole New Mind, and it talks about we need to use our whole mind in the future. We can't just be left-brain analytical. We have to be able to use our creative side as well. The Jerry Springer world that we live in, it's sad that the ratings on a Jerry Springer program are higher than any other rating in television. When that program is designed for the audience to make fun and laugh and encourage inappropriate behavior by people that are already having difficulty with their life, what a dysfunctional society we are in right now. And we need to get out of that. We need to be producing kids of character who will be positive, productive citizens in our world. We lack character training in our schools. We're cutting back in music and performing arts because of the interventions that we have to implement in these underperforming schools. And the EL subgroups, you know, we talk about closing that achievement gap, which is very wide, and we need the support of the parents in a lot of those subgroups to help us out. And what's being done, I want you to know that the county office, right now we have a family education program every Wednesday night at the county office. It's free, open to the public. For an hour and a half, families come and they learn how to reconnect, they learn how to love one another, how to deal with the issues that families so often have. Districts can refer, anybody can attend these. Also, San Jose County was just appointed one of the 10 counties in the state by Governor Schwarzenegger to be the lead in his arts initiative, and so we're getting behind that. Also, the county office has hired a new English learner director who is going to be going out to the schools and help them support the English learners in their schools. Civics education is something that we're promoting in our after-school programs because we realize that if students don't understand democracy, the freedoms that they have every day and what it takes to maintain that, then we will no longer have a free country. The last item here is a character education. We're incorporating that at our alternative websites, and we're working with various agencies, SPI, the Workforce Alliance, the Chamber, to improve the relationships within the community that we have. We recently had an education summit last month where we had business leaders in the community and local school superintendents sitting down at the table saying, what is the language that you need? What do you need from our high school graduates so that they will be able to incorporate into a seamless transition into the workforce in this county? We're also starting up a Working for Success Academy where students, if they go through the program and then they march to our step, that they will be guaranteed jobs in our community. And I think most importantly, we need to promote this sense of urgency to our community. People need to be aware, and I'm not a real believer that it takes a community to raise a child. I'm a believer that it takes a family to raise a child. However, given the situation that many families are in, we all need to take part in improving the lives of young people so that they can be productive citizens. So I am going around speaking to as many groups as I can to let people know that we're open and willing. Our county office is starting a mentor program to join with Stanislaus County to go out to schools and mentor with young people. So it's something that obviously is I'm very passionate about because our future is at stake on this. And this is the time when we need to make that change. And people often ask me, Tom, you're on your job 11 months now. How do you like it? And I put this last slide up because this kind of tells me where I am in my point. Choose a job that you love and you never have to work a day in your life. So for me, it's all about spreading the word, and that word is that we all need to go together. We need to join together for the future of our society, our community, and for the well-being of our young people. So I appreciate very much the time that you gave me to just give you this little bit of a snapshot, and if I can be of any assistance down the road, don't hesitate to call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments for our superintendent? I sure have a couple. I'm a father of a couple of school-aged children in our county, and the number one thing I continually hear are test scores. And I'm wondering if too much emphasis is being placed on test scores. That's the only thing we hear about as parents, from back to school night to open house to every assembly we go to, are test scores, test scores, test scores. We see the reduction in arts. We see the reduction in music. We see the reduction in PE because of test scores. So that's just...
You can be sure that me in this position, I am being a voice in Sacramento to get away from that, because we need to work and develop the whole child, and it's not about test scores. I had a friend of mine whose wife was a first grade teacher at a distinguished school, no less, and she asked for a transfer because the first day of school they're teaching their first grade students how to bubble in. How to bubble in, because that's what you do in second grade on the test. Now, whatever happened to making the pictures that you could put in the window of the snowflakes and sending the things home with your parents? I mean, We've gone way too far away from that. So that testing is not the end all, because I would rather produce citizens that are productive than a generation of test takers.
And then just the second question I have, as superintendent of schools, what authority or what input do you get to put into on the nutritional content of the school lunches?
Actually, that's not in my jurisdiction. That is each district. They follow the guidelines and they work with that. Now, I will tell you that next year the county office is getting behind our theme for next year is addressing the childhood obesity situation in our county. And I do know that we will be collaborating with all of the districts and we'll be monitoring how their nutrition and their menus are developed. But I know for many of the programs, they have pretty strict guidelines that they do have to follow. Now, sometimes when, as adults, we go on campus and you look at some of the food being served and you say, that looks just like processed food. How can that be nutritional? And we're told that they have to meet the guidelines. So I question that sometimes myself, but they do meet the guidelines or their money would be withheld.
Yeah. As a parent, I question it quite often.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming down, sir.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Next, we're going to move on to public comment period. This is an opportunity in the agenda to address this board on any item that is not on today's agenda. I have two specific requests to speak this morning. One is from Michael Holland. Morning.
Morning, Chairman and fellow supervisors. At the request of the Newman City Council, I'm here to read a letter that you received, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago into the record. Dear Supervisors, in February 2007, the City of Newman sent the Board of Supervisors a letter outlining concerns the City believes the Board should consider when making decisions regarding the redevelopment of the Crow's Landing Air Base site. While the Board chose to disregard the concerns of the residents of West Stanislaus County with its February 2007 vote, the City will remain vigilant as the Board moves forward. In an effort to reemphasize our position, the City has elected to state our concerns with the current project. While a final development plan has yet to be reviewed by the Board, the City believes it is imperative that the project fully mitigate all impacts associated with this development. It is extremely important that this project have a positive influence on West Stanislaus County communities and residents. 2. Aesthetics are important to the residents of our community. In particular, the City of Newman has invested a significant amount of capital into improving our downtown streetscape and developing plans for our downtown plaza. The City is concerned that a rail yard will have a negative impact upon the area and deter future investment in our community. The City will not support a plan that transforms West Stanislaus County into a rail yard with stockpiles of graffiti-laden storage containers and rail cars. The reading. The City strongly opposes a project that expands beyond the existing limits of the air base property. The proposed project is more than 4 times larger than our existing city limits and over 30% larger than our sphere of influence. While the City understands the need to plan for the future, the current proposal is inconsistent with size and scale of communities in West Stanislaus County. 4. While not specifically identified in the initial proposal, the City steadfastly opposes a project that contains a residential component now or in the future. In 2004, over 62% of the Newman electorate voted to advise the Board to direct urban growth into the incorporated areas. This vote should also be considered as opposition to expanding the proposal beyond the footprint of the existing airbase. In closing, the City of Newman remains unconvinced the Board will protect the values and quality of life of West Stanislaus County residents and communities during the redevelopment of the Crow's Landing Air Base. Previous Board decisions and the failure of the master developer to engage local leadership and incorporate them into the development process reinforces the belief that this project is based more upon politics than job development and sound planning. While the City cannot endorse the current direction of the project, we remain hopeful the Board will not blindly endorse a plan without considering the West Stanislaus County residents and communities. It is not too late to show the residents of West Stanislaus County that you hear their concerns and promise to respect and protect their values and way of life. And that is signed by our Mayor, John Fantasia, our Mayor Pro Tem, Robert Martina, and our three council members, Michael Crinklaw, Ed Caton, and Ted Kelly.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just to note, that's also on the correspondence for today later in the agenda. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Second request is from Martha Montalongo.
Good morning, Supervisors. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak and commend you on all of what you do for, you know, providing services for the community to improve their lives. And I want to address myself to all of you. I'd like to address myself to Supervisor DeMartini in particular. I want to ask you to please go on record where you stand in terms of defending the people of California when $10 billion, $10 billion deficit is what we have that was facing, you know, the people of California. And this is only after 3.5 months since the budget was approved, the current budget, and by our legislative leaders. And they failed to deliver on a lot of their promises, including, you know, a good or fair, sound redistricting plan. They have failed to improve on our state water policy. I noticed, you know, I mean, I think it's beautiful what you have for affirmation. Water is the first thing that you mention as part of, you know, a vibrant life, the affirmation you have for the citizens of your community. This year's legislative session has been one of the worst in recent California history. And the special sessions haven't produced any results. And the legislative leaders of both houses are under investigation for personally benefiting from the very powerful positions, yet they have put forth an initiative that's on the ballot in February, Proposition 93, to extend their terms in a very misleading way. They call it a reduction in term limits or a limit on term limits for their legislative leaders. That's in the ballot title and summary. It misleads the community to think that they're actually limiting or further restricting the limits when in fact what they're doing is doubling the terms from the current 6 years to 12 years for an assembly person and increasing by 50% from 8 years to 12 years for terms for state senators. And you've been silent. And we need for you to take a position on this initiative. It is a deliberate, misleading initiative of the public. And your position, your silence is deafening on it, and we urge you to please inform your community where you stand on this issue. It was a popular initiative, proposition 190 when we had 140 when we passed term limits back in 1990. It's 76% or 78% of the public supports term limits. They like them. So to tell them in a ballot title and summary that you're further restricting when in fact what you're doing is increasing is, it's just a gross violation, gross on top of the terrible, the very poor job that these current crop of leaders in our legislature have performed. I also would like to ask you, please, if you could respond, where do you stand on the issue of illegal immigration? We need reform. Obviously, we do. I mean, there's a need for farmers. And Supervisor Martin, you're a farmer, and you're a leader in the community. You've been a chairperson of your party. So it's important that you lead in this regard, and as well as the rest of you. If we need to have some sort of program, let's have a program. Let's not have leadership, a void of leadership, and let what the current situation is continue, which is a disservice to all of us. There's a growing resentment. There's a growing hostility. It isn't good for the people who come here to work. It isn't good for the people who are here, who are citizens, who want jobs. It isn't good for any of us in terms of our integrity and wanting to believe that our leaders abide by the law and uphold the rule of law and serve us that way. So thank you for your comments, and I hope to hear your response. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just make a short comment about that, if it would be all right, since a lot of this was directed at me. I can't address just everything that you said. I was writing down some parts of it. But I have long opposed the fiscal policy of the state of California and its legislature. I've constantly opposed the deficit spending and unfunded mandates. And the problem that we've gotten into in the state is the redistricting that we have, where it is either safe Republican or safe Democrats. And this allows an assemblyman or senator. I'm not directing anything against Supervisor Monteith, as he used to be in the Senate. But I want to make that clear. But the problem where we've gotten in the stalemate in the state is that we have these two safe districts, and there's no competition in it. So no matter what your legislature does, if he's at a safe Republican or a safe Democratic district, he can do anything and still get reelected. And this is the problem. The parties aren't working together. And they have just spent California in a deficit spending to the point where I don't know if we're ever going to get out of it. And the concern that I have on this board is that the state, when it runs out of money, always robs the cities and the counties. And this is what's happened in the past. I would expect it to happen again if things don't change. And the state legislature constantly putting bond measures on, just spending our children's money in the future. So, you know, I have a lot of problems with the state. I know I was Republican Party chairman for 8 years, and we'd always have supported the fiscal responsibility, which is something the state of California has never had in recent memory.
Okay. Are there any other members wishing to? It's not a debate, man. You're welcome to talk to them after the meeting, but we need to get on with today's agenda. Any other comments for public comment?
Just give me a call.
Okay, moving on to consent calendar. I have a request to pull item C3, sir, for a separate vote. Is there any other comments or questions? I have a motion to left item C3.
Also move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Item C3, approval to award contract to George Reed Incorporated Modesto.
Chairman O'Brien, I have a business conflict. We do work for this family, so I'll step down.
Okay. Record note that Supervisor Grover has left the dais. We have a motion to approve.
Also move.
I have a motion and a second by Supervisor Monteith. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. Item B15, consideration of the county's preliminary capital improvement plan for fiscal year 2007-2008.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Patty Hill Thomas from the Chief Executive Office. With me at the table this morning is Tim Fedorchik, who's worked very hard on bringing together our annual capital improvement plan. I'd just like to take a brief moment to thank the so many people involved in this effort. Thank you, Tim, Marnie Artis and our staff, Monica Nino Reed, Stan Risen, Richard Jantz, and all the departments. A very special note to our new Public Works Director, Matt Machado, and Diane Ha from Public Works, because transportation planning is the single largest piece of our capital improvement efforts. It's my pleasure to join in presenting to you today our 2007-2008 capital improvement plan and preliminary project list. This is an important guide in our fiscal and long-range planning, and there are three really important components of what we do. We do budget monitoring, budget preparation, and fiscal accountability, and that's number one. The second is that we do capital improvement planning. And the third is that we do debt capacity planning. And you may recall in this last year, as we brought together the capital improvement plan for your consideration, we also brought to you, with the help of our municipal finance advisor, a very structured debt capacity study analysis and forecasting model, so that we can go hand in hand with budget needs, future investment needs, and our debt and fiscal condition analysis at the same time. So today we bring to you what we call the guide to our long-range capital planning. every single project that is either contemplated or planned in the capital improvement plan requires an individual approval from your board of supervisors at each major milestone. I'd like to also recognize the efforts of Supervisors Mayfield and Grover, your board's Capital Facilities Committee, who have spent a good amount of time over this past year with us and will be spending more in the 2008 year as we work continually to improve the county's investment strategy in terms of facilities and opportunity strategies and planning. This preliminary capital improvement plan has been reviewed by the two supervisors representing you on the board's facility committee, and they have recommended that it be forwarded to your board today for consideration. It's a very long list. The projects are all categorized. It's a preliminary project concept for many of the requests. Some of them are brand new and haven't really been studied or evaluated. Many of the projects are envisioned over a time period that could be out or past a 20-year period. Many of them are growth-related, really looking into the future, what might occur. And it's important to note that because the capital improvement plan is a foundation for the public facility fees, or commonly referred to as developer fees, that we collect for our future capital needs. This kind of planning allows your board to look at priorities that you've established relative to what our physical needs are, and also compare the financing ends and our debt capacity. You last approved final CIP on June of 2007, and we plan to bring you the final CIP before June of 2008. We actually hope to be back in your boardroom in about March. Our projects are dissimilar in some cases, going from construction and remodeling to roads and traffic improvements to acquiring property, large equipment purchases, deferred maintenance. We're now including our technology planning improvements and other major planning and improvement initiatives, as well as master plans that look out over a 20-year period. And this capital improvement plan is, again, organized by your board's priorities, which are listed on the screen. With that, I'd like to turn this presentation to Tim, who will take you through just a little bit of detail, but not a lot.
The capital improvement plan project list, which I'm holding up, and we have a couple of additional copies in the back, and I'll provide the website here shortly where it's available to the public, is also divided up into implementation categories. And one of the ways that we sort through the projects is to identify them as either approved and funded projects, meaning that they've been to the Board of Supervisors for a review of the plan concept and the funding plan, to projects which are high priority. We've called those B category projects, or projects pending implementation. Those may be projects that are still waiting for a piece of the funding to come in, or the plans are being drawn but hasn't been reviewed by the board. Those are the high priority projects we anticipate to happen a year, 2 years down the road. The capital improvement plan also divides out two other categories of future projects. Those projects that are part of a master plan that's been to the board, just as an example, the parks master plan, which was approved previously by the Board of Supervisors, has a number of parks projects in it. The individual projects would come back to the Board of Supervisors for review and approval, as well as a funding plan for that project. Those may be in the long-range 20-year horizon or 15-year or 10-year horizon. And then the last category, D, are future projects which are pending analysis, and those would be the projects requested by departments but for which there's not been a further review as we go through. Just to recap the totals of those projects, there are 40 projects in the Capital Improvement Plan project list which have a total estimated cost of $160,230,000. Those are within the approved and funded categories. A lot of those projects are already underway, may have been started in previous years, are still continuing, haven't been closed out yet. Of that $160 million, $66.7 million of that is really the county's portion of that cost. A number of the projects in the capital improvement plan are shared between Stanislaus County and other agencies. The projects pending implementation, there are 75 projects within the current preliminary project list. Total estimated cost of $82.8 million. County's portion of that cost, $58.7 million. Those future projects that are master planned, these are the big bulk of the projects that we have in the list. Those are, there's a total of 129 projects at a total value of $731 million at a total county cost of $578.3 million. And those projects that are future projects, the longer range pending analysis projects, would be just under $500 million, $494.6 million. Total estimated cost of those 60 projects would be $344 million. The grand total, although it's a staggering number, remember this is a planning tool more than anything. The total estimated value of those projects, $1.468 billion, with the county cost being just over $1 billion, $1.048 billion. Of those, you can see on this pie chart that the vast majority of those are future projects in the master plan category. 55% of the projects fall within that category. The approved and funded projects, those immediate projects, those high priority projects, represent 6% of the total of the county cost. Looking at this from the perspective of the Board of Supervisors' priorities, the vast majority of these projects fall within the well-planned infrastructure system. 78% or $816 million worth of these projects. The reason for that is very simple. The vast majority of these projects, a good half of this plan, falls within the roads and traffic business. And a lot of the funding for that is funding that comes from either enterprise funds, grant funds, passed through through the county. The I wanted to also point out that while out of the seven priorities, many of the projects that are listed in one category or the other are also partnership projects. Our county can be very proud of the fact that we have aggressively partnered on a number of projects. So while we don't list that as one of the separate priorities, that's also a component of a number of the projects that we do. Amongst the high priority projects on our list, animal shelter remodel and expansion project, Empire Community Swimming Pool project, we have a number of components of the public safety center, including replacement of the coroner facility, expansion of the law enforcement facilities in an area command structures, and expansion of the jail itself. We also have some other high priority projects, including the complete fit out of the fifth floor of the 12th Street building for the district attorney's office and an updated library master plan. In total, there are 63 new projects from our previous final master plan. Those include, I won't read all these individually, but those include everything from interior expansion of the Fink Road landfill, some new components of that over the long haul, voice over internet protocol system. There are some transportation improvements, a lot of road improvements I didn't list individually here, but in particular, Claribel Road, between McHenry and Oakdale, and a lot of transit improvements as well. Our timeline for the CIP, and I should go back and explain a little bit. What we always come to the board now twice a year with the capital improvement plan. What we're doing today is taking a look at the proposed project list. Once we have a project list that you've reviewed and you approve of, we'll take that project list and go back to the County Planning Commission and ask them, in concert with the County Planning Department, to look at that list relative to its consistency with the county's general plan. The Planning Department will make a recommendation or do the staff work for the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission will review that after that's completed later in this year and the beginning of next year, and we'd expect that by late winter, January, February, that we will have a recommendation back from the Planning Commission. We'll ask them to make that finding and to recommend the list back to the Board of Supervisors for its final consideration. And then with that, we'll come back in the spring and ask you to formalize that as the final capital improvement plan. I promised that we'd show you where this was on the county's website. On the new website that the county has, you can go to www.stancounty.com, and under the county services tab, you'll be able to find it under capital projects, and then click on capital projects, and there's a section there that calls for capital improvement plan for fiscal year 2007-2008. And if you push that, it takes you right to the document. So everybody's got it available everywhere.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have three recommendations for you to consider today, and we would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions of staff? Anybody in the audience have any questions or comments?
I just had a comment.
Supervisor,
I went through the report, and of course there's many projects, and it's almost $1.5 billion, but the only thing I found that was lacking in there is in the long-term planning for what we're going to do with the law library. I brought this up yesterday with staff, and because I know work has been done on that, or whether it was going to go into the courthouse or perhaps buy the building that they're already in. But within a year or so, at least, I would expect to see something about the law library in this capital improvement plan. It's all right that it's not in it today, but that's something I think that may have been overlooked.
I just might mention that we are working on the relocation of the law library as one of the options relative to all of our changes to the courthouse and the court transfer, and if it does become a county project, then it would be appropriate to amend it into the capital improvement plan, and we'll continue that effort and then report back to your board.
Ma'am, does this have to do with capital projects? Okay. That doesn't have to do with the capital item we're looking at, the capital projects. Okay, Supervisor DeMartini, did you have your question answered?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Any other comments or questions?
I'll move for approval of the recommended items.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Correspondence.
Thank you.
This board has received a letter from the State of California Fish and Game Commission regarding the continuation notice of proposed regulatory actions relative to the methods authorized for taking big game and methods to take non-game birds and non-game mammals for Section 356. And 475 of Title 14 of the California Code of Regulations.
Refer to Department of Parks and Recreation and the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a letter from the City of Newman regarding the plans for the Crow's Landing Air Base.
Refer that to Chief Executive Office and the Crow's Landing Air Facility Steering Committee.
This board has received a letter from the Modesto City Schools regarding the new Joseph A. Gregory High School requesting support and designating the school and surrounding properties as Salida CA 95368.
Authorize the chairman to send a letter of support to Modesto City Schools.
This board has received a copy of the California State Association of Counties Excess Insurance Authority Annual Report 2007.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of the claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor DeMartini?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to make a short comment about the letter that the Newman City Manager read to us about their concerns over the West Park development. This project has not had the actual proposal submitted yet, but when it does, I would hope that this board would heed the City Council's words and their concerns about the project. We've also received a letter from the Patterson City Council. And as recently, the West Stanislaus Fire District, the Patterson School Board, and the Del Puerto Healthcare District have all voted to oppose this project in its present form, or what we think the present form might be. Part of the things that we were supposed to consider, or we should consider, in this request for proposal was the sensitivity to surrounding neighborhoods. And so, with this in mind, I would urge the board to pay attention to the surrounding community and what their concerns are in the future.
Any other Board of Supervisor reports? Legislative Fiscal Management Report, Chief Executive Officer.
Nothing.
Okay. We have two items in closed session. County Council, will you announce?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Board, the first item is a conference with labor negotiator, Mr. Robinson, and the organization is the San Luis County Sheriff's Management Association, Missouri Government Code Section 54957.6. Second matter is a conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, Clark and Sullivan versus the county, Superior Court case number 612057, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9. Anticipate no announcements.
We will adjourn to closed session.